You take your copy of God's Word and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read through chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Samuel 1, and we'll read through chapter 2, verse 10. And here we see the story about how Samuel is born and what happens throughout that situation. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. This is the word of our God. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerhom, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, and so she would wept. She wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned, then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bowl and 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, thus far in the word of our God this evening. Here we start the book of 1 Samuel, which is in the original just Samuel. It came in two scrolls. That's why there's a 1 and 2 Samuel. And here we notice that we should notice that Samuel actually comes right after Judges. Ruth is in the original Old Testament, comes at the end of the Old Testament, at the end of the Hebrew scriptures. And so Samuel comes in what Ruth comes, sorry, in what Jesus described as the writings. He talks about in the Gospels the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, which is Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and then Isaiah through the minor prophets, so the prophets, and then the writings, which are everything else. And so for a bit of background in that Hebrew Bible, we know in our Bibles it's set up kind of chronologically or topically. And then we look at the Hebrew Bible, it's set up theologically, much like the New Testament is. You notice in Paul's writings, they're not in order of date, they're in order of theology, perhaps. But we don't need to fret about any of these things. It's not that big of a deal, because the Hebrew Bible has the same books as our Bibles. So nothing to worry about. And here, we remember the last verse of Judges, because that sets the context of Samuel. The last verse of Judges, it says, In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so here in Samuel, we see that continuing. It's the same situation that's going on. And we're going to see in Samuel a king be brought about. And so that's why at the end of Judges, that phrase comes up. There was no king in Israel. There's no king in Israel. That comes up. And so then over time, we see that the Lord raises up a king in David, which points us forward to Jesus. And the people were doing right in their own eyes. And here we see that as well in Elkanah, even though that's not the focus. He has two wives. He shouldn't have two wives, should he? And yet he has two wives. And each wife, we have Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was the one wife, and she was barren. She's much like, we might look at Sarah and compare that relationship and Hagar. We can compare that in some sense to this relationship, since we just looked at that this morning. Hannah was barren, and then there was this other woman, Peninnah, who was not barren, and she provoked Hannah. Every time they went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. And so it was with Hagar. Hagar looked down upon Sarai. But so one year, she was being provoked by this other woman who had many children, Elkanah's other wife, her husband, Elkanah, came to her and comforted her. And what we see is an introduction of a woman who, again, is like Sarai. There's an inability to conceive, and there is also this intolerable situation of having it rubbed in year after year. And yet it's the situation that the Lord uses to drive Hannah to himself, and that's different than what happened with Sarai. Because and with Hagar and Sarai, Sarai went to unbelief. But here Hannah, it seems, drives in her faith, is driven in her faith to the Lord. She prays to the Lord. Sarai didn't do that. She fretted in her circumstances. But here Hannah goes to the Lord. She lifts up her and pours out her complaint, her troubles before the Lord. And she even makes a vow within that prayer. And so she shows us. And she shows us the freedom that we have when we pray to come boldly and come with our complaints and come with our troubles like we see in the Psalms all the time. To come not perhaps stiffly, but weeping, sorrow. There's all these different emotions with her prayer. And so we ought to come also and at different times and depending on the situation, come with sorrow, come with joy, or however we might come. And she makes a vow to give him to the Lord all his days. If the Lord would answer and give her a son, she would give him to the Lord for the rest of his life. And how did the Lord work here? In a mighty way, right? Though she was barren, the Lord of hosts brought about a child, a son, Samuel, who the first part of Samuel is about. The first part of Samuel we see up until the time of David. It's focused on Samuel and then also a little bit of Saul leading up to David. And so Hannah, after he was weaned, after Samuel was weaned, she brought the boy to Eli the priest and dedicated. She kept her vow. Another important thing to think about. She kept her vows. You think of a situation where there's people who give up, who promise to give up their child to adoption and have the family ready. And when that child is born, they often want to keep that baby. And yet, after they've kept that promise to give them away, and yet, though that might be the temptation, Hannah keeps her vow. What happens when the Lord answers her prayer? What happens when our prayers are answered by the Lord? She has given her complaints, she's given her troubles to the Lord, and He responds by giving the son. He answers, and how does she respond? Now, often we respond by forgetting about that the Lord answered it. We just go on with life. Or we just, you know, kind of, oh, praise God. But here you see how Hannah responds, and that is in true praise to the Lord. She prays a prayer of praise, which we might call a song. In the first three verses of chapter 2, we see Hannah's elation over Yahweh's particular salvation or deliverance of her. She's now no longer under this, in some sense, persecution of this other woman, Peninnah, because she's had a child now. She's had relief granted to her from her distress. And so that's her elation over Yahweh's deliverance or salvation. And then the next five verses expands her praise, describing the way that the Lord delivered her is the same way that the Lord rules the world. He does this throughout the world. And then verses 9 to 10, the last two verses are expanded more so outside of that from the Lord, how He acted in Hannah's specific situation to then how He acts and works in the world to then the very last in verses 9 and 10 to how Yahweh will fully and completely and visibly rule in the end. He keeps the feet of His godly ones, and He will judge the earth. And beloved, we ought to be moved here to go more often to prayer to the Lord. That's the big lesson here in the first chapter and first 10 verses of chapter 2. To go to the Lord in prayer and lift up our complaints and our troubles and everything that we're dealing with. Go to Him. Not go to those things around us only, but go to the Lord first and foremost And when He answers, how do we respond? We respond in praise to Him. Praises to His name. Which we'll actually look at more in Ephesians this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this book of Samuel that You've given to us and all the lessons that it teaches us. And here we learn that big lesson once again that we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer and lift up our petitions to before your throne. Even our complaints and our troubles and all the trials we go through, the sufferings we go through, any things that we are struggling with and difficulties in life, we should bring all these things to you because you're our Father. Now, oftentimes we like to keep things to ourselves and be independent, and yet we need to remember here that we are dependent upon you. Now, because you're the Lord who answers our prayer, and you are mighty in power, that you can bring about a child from a woman who is barren. And many times you do that throughout Scripture. And so we pray now that you would hear our prayers and our petitions, and that you would make us more bold to come before your throne because of the sacrifice of your Son. And Father, we lift up many prayer requests to you, requests of health. We think of the Boss family and how Mike and Sharon are sick, and perhaps the children are too, and we pray that you would heal them. We pray for Dick and Betty Bennett that you would strengthen them and strengthen them in their minds, that they would remember that Sunday is the Lord's Day, and that they have this great privilege of gathering together with the people of body at their fingertips. And we pray that you would strengthen them and their bodies to be able to come and not be embarrassed for Dick. We pray that you would not allow him to feel embarrassed because he's in a wheelchair, but that you would comfort him, and that we would all welcome them with open arms, because we are desiring to worship the Lord together and to hear him speak to us. And we pray that you would strengthen them to come and not forsake the assembling together if they're able to come. And Father, we do pray for those who have chronic illnesses like Sharon and Bob and Marie, and also pray for Dina and her pregnancy and her back and energy. We pray that you would strengthen her. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen all of us in our bodies to continue to serve you, not only providing for our families and watching out for our families and caring for our families and caring for our homes, but in just the day-to-day things, that all of our attention and our focus would be on the Lord and be on you, that we would pray continuously and not stop, no, that it would be unceasing, and that in every instance we would be ready and willing and desirous to pray and come to your throne, whether in good or in bad times, because you're the God who hears and answers our prayer. And we pray that we would be a people who, often we do this together, we praise your name because you're the God who answers prayer. You've often answered our prayers, and you have answered our prayers. And so we pray that in the future you would make us more apt to praise your name and sing praises and speak praises and give thanks in all things because of our Savior Jesus Christ and because of what you, the Father, have done for us in him and by giving us the Spirit. And so, Father, we do pray also for our government. We pray that you would raise up rulers who love you and who fear you. And we pray that you would bless this church, that you would cause us to see that we worship a God who is mighty to save, and a God who's holy, and a God who loves us, a God who is the Creator, a God who is our rock. Father, we pray that we would grow through the Scriptures and the reading and preaching of your Word and in prayer and through the sacraments and even through our fellowship. We pray that the Word would be spoken more, and that you would be glorified in all things that we do. We pray that you would give the elders wisdom as we meet together and as we seek to rule the church under your headship, because you're the head of the church. And that you would give us wisdom from your Word, and that our focus and our attention would be on the Word and in prayer. And that we would be able to shepherd, strengthen us to shepherd the flock in a greater way, though we fail in many areas. And Father, we pray that you would raise up, grow us husbands, to also shepherd our families. And Father, we pray that you would bless us through the Word this evening as we continue in our worship now. Father, forgive us of all of our sins. We have sinned in great ways. But we need you to turn us from that sin, that we might worship and glorify your name and enjoy you in all things. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.